Does it seem like you care more about your organization's backup and recovery needs than anybody else? Do ransomware and natural disasters give you both heartburn and insomnia? Then you are in the right place. Backup Central's Restore It All is an independent podcast dedicated to keeping your organization's data safe from all that would do it harm. This episode of Restore It All is the beginning of our Back to Basics series. Today, we're going to talk about how RTO and RPO should drive your backup design, because no one cares if you can back up. No one. They only care if you can restore. After a brief banter between Persona and I that will have nothing to do with backups, we'll dive into this very important topic. If you want to skip right to the good stuff, just fast forward to about 5 minutes in and you'll hear us talking about RTO and RPO. Hope you enjoy the episode. You could restore it all. Hi, and welcome to Backup Central's Restore It All podcast. I'm your host, W. Curtis Preston, a.k.a. Mr. Backup, and I have with me a guy that I am absolutely positive my dad, when I was younger, would definitely call a hippie. How's it going, Persona?
I was trying to figure out where you were taking that, and I was very afraid where that was going. But I got to know it.
Yeah, works. My dad would have, with that hair that you got going on, my dad would totally have called you a hippie back in the day. And this is, well, actually pretty sure both of my parents. And mind you, I don't know if I've ever told you, did I tell you that I wasn't allowed to wear jeans until, like, I didn't own a pair of jeans until I was 18 years old. And it's because jeans were what hippies wore.
Interesting. Right? So you just wore slacks and shorts?
Corduroys was my material choice. Exactly. You know, the voop, 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 you know, you could start a fire down there. I don't know why
more people don't wear corduroy. Like, they're super comfy. They're nice material. They're just,
what's amazing is they're pretty warm though.
Yeah.
And I did this in Florida, right?
Yeah. I don't know about Florida if you'd want that there. Honestly, though, I think even today people would still call me a hippie. So it's all good, Curtis. You don't have to go back to your dad's generation back in the day calling me a hippie back then. So yeah. How about this? If we can get 5 comments on our podcast, right? Positive comments in the next month. No, sorry, in the next 2 weeks from when this goes live.
All right.
Curtis will grow a beard for the next 3 months. For the next 3 months.
Let's see. Apple.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up to see. All right. We have to be specific. All right. Right now we have 16 ratings on okay.
So I'll make it a little harder. So if we get to 20. Hold on. I said 5 before.
Yeah.
Okay. So So if we get 9, how about that?
Well, if we get nine new ratings and comments, I'll grow a beard until Christmas.
Okay.
I can't commit to after that.
Yeah.
But I don't see that, happening.
Just watch, Curtis. Just be careful. So this is 9 from when this episode goes live, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which will be sometime in September.
Okay.
Or, well, it might be in August. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. So right now there's 16 ratings on the podcast there.
Just wait. Just wait.
All right. Well, now I'm scared. But speaking of ratings, I'll throw out our podcast, our disclaimer. Persona and I work for different companies. He works for Zoom. I work for Druva. And this is not a podcast of either company. The opinions that you hear are ours. Also, rate us at ratethispodcast.com/restore. And, you know, if you like what we're talking about, if you're somebody who's been listening to the podcast, we know you're out there. Just reach out to me at WC Preston on Twitter or WCurtisPreston@gmail. And, we'll get you on the podcast. We'll talk about your favorite subject. We'll even keep you anonymous if you want. right? We'll give you a fake name. Like we've had Harry Potter and Ron Weasley on here. You know, it's all good.
Couple mystery guests without any names.
Yeah. We've had, where we didn't even give them a name. Right. Yeah. So that's all good. Right. That way you can speak to your heart's content and not worry about what your employer thinks about it. We'll even disguise your voice. So, I thought this week we would kind of go back to a basic but incredibly important topic. And that is this to the concepts that are RTO and RPO, which, of course, for those
regional
who don't
transit
already
authority
know,
or office. RTO is
recovery time objective and recovery point objective. And then also we should talk about, RTA and RPA and how those are related but completely different. So let's first talk about, and I guess what I'm going to make the title of this is why RTO and RPO are, what did I say in the message persona? I was quite eloquent. What did I say the title should be?
Why RTO and RPO should drive all backup design.
Done. Right. Because let me ask you a question, persona. Do backups matter?
No.
Does Not anyone really. Care if you back up?
No.
No one cares if you back up.
The only thing is restoring data. And exactly. If you fail to restore data, there's a high likelihood your job might be out gone. So.
Yeah, and I would say, and I feel so strongly about this. And by the way, I'm not speaking to the choir. I'm speaking to old me. I spent the first, I don't know how many years of my backup career, not really knowing much about RTO and RPO. And I kind of used the concepts, I suppose, but I didn't use them to drive backup design. I didn't use them to set expectations with my customers, right? I was at a very large bank and we had all kinds of expectations. And I know you've worked at companies where you've got customers that have expectations. And you and I are both married. So many arguments that you have as a married couple comes from what?
Mismatched expectations. Yep.
Yeah, right. And I think go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, and I was just thinking back to, I know we've had Jeff Rocklin on this call or on the podcast, and in your book, right, that you wrote, Modern Data Protection.
Yep.
Right? By O'Reilly. In that book also, right, there's that entire chapter of working with your stakeholders, setting expectations, right, understanding and getting agreement on, hey, this is what it is. Because like you said, a lot of the time it comes down to expectations aren't agreed to and aren't set up front. And therefore, when something goes wrong, which inevitably something does, right, then everyone's like, oh, that's not what I thought. And oh, I thought I would get my data back tomorrow. And oh, why am I losing data? Right. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
because these things weren't clearly documented, discussed up front. Like you said, Curtis, when designing those backup systems.
Exactly. And so, you know, when you think about the ways that you can get in trouble as a backup admin, one of them is clearly you either the restore didn't complete in the expected amount of time, and the restore lost more data than was expected. Now, I'm just saying expected. I'm saying it that way specifically because it's what they were expecting, not what you were expecting.
Exactly.
Right? You probably always knew how long it was going to take, but if the powers that be, well, you may or may not know.
Yeah.
We did have an episode why restore is often usually slower. It takes longer than the backup, right? Yeah. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I would highly recommend it because it goes into it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Like you were saying, it goes into all the details about why restores can be slower than your backups and issues around that. I was also going to add that even another challenge that you see with restores is some people, and I know, Curtis, we always talk about this, verify your restores, right? Verify that your backups are done, right? But some people have never actually done a restore, so they can't tell you, or they've done such a small restore that they don't know how long in real life is it going to take to bring my Oracle database back up and running to the latest point in time.
They've often done sort of functional restores, but not not performance restore tests.
Yeah.
Right. I remember when I was at the bank, we did something like we did a handful of restores every single day because we didn't have snapshots back in the day. There were the number one reason for restores is still human action, right? Not, in fact, I would say it's even more so today than it was 20, 30 years ago, because now we have RAID and erasure coding and highly reliable drives like SSD drives versus the rotational drives that we were, that we used for so many years. I would say that at this point, like 99% of the time that you're going to do a restore is due to some kind of action of some kind of human.
I was just thinking, have you seen a study about that? That'd be an interesting stat. I wonder if there is an industry stat talking about what percentage of restores is actually user.
Yeah, I just think about like the
day to day
used to be, right? We when I started, we had servers running on a disk drive. You know, you had the OS disk drive, you had the application disk drive, and then you had one or more data disk drives.
Yeah.
Disk drives, not LUNs, not LUNs on a RAID array. Yeah, exactly. What's a RAID array, right? and it was all obviously rotational disks, and we went through, I'm sure you know nothing of this, but there was a big HP recall. We had a lot of HP servers, and it was an HP disk recall because they were leaking swag oil. I don't even know what that means, but swag oil. They were leaking swag oil onto the platters and thus creating data loss. We called them the Valdez disks. Based on Exxon Valdez. Apologies to if anybody works in that, you know, industry. But that was what we had back then. That just doesn't happen now, right? I mean, if an individual drive, whether it's, first off, SSDs fail way less often than rotational drives, right? And if they do, they're in an array, and it's just replaced. It's like replaced right away, right? You have hot swappable drives. It's seamless.
Exactly. I think the challenge is, if you think about the types of scenarios and use cases, right? When I think about like a user accidentally deleted something or some use case like that, the amount of data I'm restoring isn't a large amount, right? And
but it's not just the user, right? But notice the way I said it. I said the action of some human.
Okay.
Right. That could be an admin dropping a VM.
Yep.
It could be a hacker.
That's okay. That's what I was going to get to, right? Is the ransomware style use cases where, yes, that is a smaller percentage of probably overall restores. But if I look at the amount of data recalled during those scenarios versus typical user restore behaviors, right?
I see. Oh, that was
you on the much larger end, right? Which are the RTOs that you need to be considering, right?
So you're saying that you think that if you look at like data per reason, the amount of data of restored versus the number of restores. You're saying if you look at the amount of data restored versus the reasons that you restored, you think that the vast majority will be ransomware attacks. I can't dispute that. Yeah. I would say ransomware attacks and disasters.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just quickly on that from the restore time objective, that's why it's important to understand and try to figure out a way to extrapolate to get to that sort of full RTO restore scenario, so you understand the performance there as well.
Yeah. You know,
be it an application or a bunch of VMs or whatever else it is.
You know, this is going to sound like a non sequitur, but
never.
I'm pulling up a scene from The West Wing. I don't know. Did you ever watch The West Wing?
Nope.
Okay. The West Wing is an amazing show. You know, in this house, my wife has seen the entire West Wing at least 4 times.
Wow.
The entire series. And there's a scene in there where the president, played by Martin
Short.
I was going to say Martin Short. It's not Martin Short. Oh. Martin Sheen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the president, played by Martin Sheen, decides on his next Supreme Court justice, who was Edward James Olmos. And there's this moment. He goes, so when's he going to get here? And he goes, well, in a couple of days. What? A couple of days? Like, normally, again, this is the expectation thing. Normally, yeah. When somebody's nominated for a position like Supreme Court, they hop on the plane that moment.
Yeah.
but the Olmos character decides to drive down through. He lives in Maine, and he's going to drive down and stop in Connecticut for some for some antiquing. So there's just, this is the thing. It's like, what's the expectation versus what actually happens?
Yep.
So I would say that the bigger the restore, the greater the expectations.
Yep.
And so what you have to do, what you must do, and if you have not done this yet, you must do this now. That is to decide per application on an RTO and an RPO. And by the way, this is an iterative process, which I think we'll probably talk about at the end here. How do you do this? Because, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, is if you ask the typical business unit, what RTO do they want? They will say zero.
Yep.
Right. How fast do you want to restore it? Immediately. How much data do you want to lose? None.
How much are you willing to spend?
None.
That's the question.
Their answers exactly. are always the same.
Yep. And I think, though, going back to what you said, right? This is where it's not so much that as a backup person, you decide what the RTO and RPOs are. I think it's...
You absolutely you need to have, cannot do that.
Yeah. You have to have that discussion with the business stakeholders to be like, okay, what are you expecting? And like you said, right, you ask them and it comes back to sort of dollars, right? Because, hey, if you want that zero RTO, zero RPO, zero data loss, right, that is going to be a pretty penny. And is that really needed by your application? Or can you sort of be like, hey, yeah, I'm okay if it takes a weekend to bring back up. Yeah. It's not mission critical. And so that's fine. And we're not losing a lot of downtime.
Yeah, the answer to your last question is almost never, right?
Yeah.
Meaning almost never does the application need zero and zero, right? Unless it's like a financial trading firm or something.
Exactly. Yeah,
I've seen they are there, right? On the opposite end, I worked at a paper mill once, and their RTO was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And their RPO was 2 weeks as well.
Yeah. And I would say for the companies that have a zero RTO, zero RPO, they're not talking to the backup team. They're probably talking to the storage infrastructure team, the compute team, right? Backup is just sort of like, if everything else fails, it's the last line of defense. It's not the first place I go in order to recover my data.
Yeah. And by the way, that brings up a topic which we should cover in this episode, and that is, should there be different RTOs and RPOs based on what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. I would argue that it depends. It depends.
It depends. Okay.
So let's talk about RTO and RPO. What are they? So persona, what is RTO?
So RTO is basically recovery time objective. It's basically an objective telling you if you needed to recover a data set, how long will it take you to bring it back? Right.
Right.
And the key here is it's not in, this is where I like to differentiate versus what a lot of other people, it's not just bringing back your data. It's actually bringing back your application to a good known state.
Bingo.
See, right. I didn't forget everything.
Yeah, no, good job. That wasn't a test, by the way. But the, yeah, I'd say mistake number one that a lot of people make is that they think it means the restore time. It doesn't. It means from the moment the outage happened to the moment the application and any related applications are back up and running in fully functional state, right?
Yep.
That is the objective. Okay, we're gonna talk about the reality in a minute, but that is the objective. That's what you've agreed. You say, listen, another way to call this is an SLA, right? A service level agreement. You have an SLA with your stakeholders. What is that? What was that?
That was me being like, I don't like calling them SLAs. I like calling them SLOs.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll let that slide. So what would make it an SLA to you if you just agreed to that RPO?
Or the RTO? Well, I think it's you need to be able to provably show that you are hitting that every single time, right? Rather than here's an objective, right? Because these are...
Well, but the agreement, what an SLA is, it's an agreement between two groups of people, maybe more than two groups of people. This is the agreement that we have made. This is the objective we're going to meet. Yeah. So maybe the RPO and RTO
are objectives,
is the metric and objective upon which you create an SLA. All right. Sure. I won't.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. I'll be fine with that. So an RTO is essentially how long it takes to bring, how long it should take to bring the application back up online.
Yep.
Right. So RPO, recovery point objective, it is basically how much data you have agreed you're allowed to lose.
Losing data? How?
Yes. So as expressed by a matter of time, meaning you agree that you will allow a loss of 1 hour's worth of data or 24 hours worth of data. And I would say, at least going back in my day, RPO was the one we talked about the least. At least it's the one we talked about the least, frankly. Did that come out of English?
That's actually interesting.
It was less frankly discussed because we all knew that we only backed up once a day and that all the backups didn't work every day. And so we knew that the best we could do was a 24-hour RPO and that maybe it might be 48 or 72, depending on what day of the week it was and all that kind of stuff. But nobody wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Being from the vendor side, I remember focusing so much on the RPO side of things and less on the RTO side.
Interesting.
And I think it was maybe because a lot of it was really around replication, right? Where people do care more about the RPOs and the fact that because a lot of it was disk-based systems, storage appliances replicating from one to another, right? Typically your RTO was minutes. Or seconds,
The RTO was minutes, so that was easy peasy. That was way better than anything it had before. So then they're like, okay, now let's talk about the amount of data we're going to lose, right? Yep. Exactly. So the thing is that... Sure.
One last thing. In terms of the data you lose, right? That's from the time a disaster strikes to going backwards in time, right?
Correct. It is the disaster happened, and then, the amount of data that we transactions, whatever it is that we put into the system that we're agreeing we can lose because we had to restore from a backup that is 10 hours old or whatever it is, right? We're agreeing in advance that, we need to lose less than 4 hours worth of data.
Yep.
And then, as we talked before, we have an SLA based around that. So what I, having spent so much time in the backup side, there was RTO and RPO, but then there was, some people call RPA and RTA, others call RPR and RTR. So that's recovery point actual or recovery point reality, right? So one is recovery point objective, the other is reality, right? So this is something that you as a backup person, and again, I use the term backup to include any kind of recovery mechanism. This is something that you as a backup person should know. You should be aware for every type of system that you have, you should be aware of what the actual recovery time, at least your portion of the recovery time, you should know that the recovery time actual and the recovery point actual is X number of hours. And you should be able to communicate that effectively by saying, and how would you know that, Persona?
Actually doing it and trying it out.
Yes, there's a word for that.
Restore validation.
Another word.
Verify your
backups. Starts with a T.
Test. There we go. Test your backups.
Yeah. It's a bit, yeah. But all those words you said were all valid. Those were all very valid. It's just the only way you're going to do this is to test it. You've got to test your restorers in order to know what your RTA and RPA are. Go ahead.
No, finish.
Because the next phase we're going to talk about is how to come to some sort of agreement, right?
The one thing
like
I wanted
in a meeting and they're like, I want an RTO and an RPO of zero. And then you should be able to say immediately, well, currently we can do 24 hours and 16 hours, whatever the number is. And then you have a discussion, right? But if you don't know that, you're SOL. And
I think the one thing to also consider is, like we had talked about, recovery versus recovery of an application versus restoring data. You may not be responsible for the end-to-end recovery of that application. You might only be responsible for a part. So just because an application team says, oh, I have 4 hours to recover my applications, don't think that you have all 4 hours to get the data back, right? Because you might only be a small percentage of bringing up the entire application.
Yeah, and part of that 4 hours may be equipment procurement.
Yep.
I don't know why that was so hard for me to get out. Equipment procurement, right? There may be repair. There may be bringing in a vendor, and all of that has to be figured into it.
Yep.
I'll say this: when you have a major outage, unless you've planned really well for it, like you have to be able to plan. Like you have to have spare equipment available. Yep. You have to have spare storage capacity. You have to have spare computing capacity, and you have to have a some sort of recovery system rocking and rolling and ready to go. That's the only way you're going to meet most modern RTOs and RPOs. If you're going to wait to call a vendor to come replace a disk drive or a server before you start your restore, you're never going to meet your RTO and RPO.
Well, and especially right now, because it's still technically the pandemic's over. We're now in an endemic stage. But during the COVID pandemic, right, it was hard to get equipment, right? Supply chains, people showing up in offices, right? So if you needed to add a server in order to be able to do the restores, good luck trying to hit your normal RTOs.
Yeah, we may be in the endemic phase, but trust me, the supply chain problem is not over. Right. I am aware of competitors of Druva's that have several month lead times on their new systems.
Yeah.
So the problem isn't over. Yeah. So and of course we think of that as a competitive differentiator, of course, right? Because we don't have that issue because we're a service. But
now, one other thing I wanted to add about equipment is, and this is where you can go to the extreme, right? You could say, okay, for every single system I have, I'm going to double the capacity, right? That way I never have to worry about bringing in equipment in case a site fails, right? The thing, though, you have to worry about is backup. People aren't spending a whole lot of their budget on making sure there's infrastructure ready for backup. So as someone working in backup, you need to make sure you figure out what are those mission critical applications that need to be immediately up and running, right? Where maybe I need to keep some percentage extra capacity in order to support that,
right?
Right? What are sort of the things that, if something happens, it might take, say, a week to bring these back up. Maybe I don't actually have equipment for that, for those things, right? And that's okay. But I think going and telling someone, oh yeah, your production budget, I need the exact same amount for backup, right? Usually doesn't apply in a lot of corporations.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm talking about additional, like, I think this is about virtualization and cloud. The more virtualized you are, the more cloud focused you are, the easier this particular issue becomes, right? You just need one or two extra servers ready to go, not an entire. I'm just saying you can deal with a lot more.
Yeah, that's true. Then how do you deal with that?
How much you need is going to be up to you. But I'm just saying it's easier if you're virtualized, because if you're virtualized and you have an application goes down because of some sort of data issue, you can easily restore that VM in another server without acquiring anything. Yeah. I guess that's sort of where I was going there.
Which works, but the one thing I would caution is cloud is great, but if you have an entire disaster that strikes a geographic region, right, and everyone is trying to spin up in the cloud at the same time, cloud is still servers. So don't think it's something magical, right? Prepared.
It's not magical, but you could prepare for a multi. You could prepare for a different region cloud.
Yes. Yep. Recovery. Exactly. Right? Yeah. Just make sure you look at your options.
Yeah. Yeah. Why we just got to have a big butt, man?
But yeah. I'm just saying, I just want to make sure people don't think the cloud is something magical. Yes, the there cloud are lots is of not magical. Magic. There are lots of great.
It is not magical.
Yeah, there are lots of great benefits to it, but you just need to make sure you understand the limitations as well.
So the title, RTO and RPO are what drives backup design. So RTO drives the power, the speed of the system, because the beefier the system, the quicker it's able to restore, the easier you're going to be able to meet a tighter recovery time objective, right?
Yep.
The RPO is what's going to drive your backup frequency. If you have a 1 hour RPO and you're backing up once a day, you are in trouble, right?
Yep.
So that's what I meant, because all your backup decisions or your backup design decisions should be based on how they affect RTO and RPO.
Yep.
And if you're not... If you're not doing that, then you are doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. And it's also not to say that you will never be able to meet a 1 hour RPO with a backup system, right? Once again, it also has to take into account not only the speed, but also the amount of data you have, right? So take that into consideration as you're looking at it, because maybe you have a database with not a lot of change rate that's fairly small that, 1 hour RPO you can hit, and probably like a 15 minute RTO, right? Perfectly well suited for that. But if it say grows from a small database to say 20 terabyte database, maybe you're not able to hit those same RPOs and RTOs, right? I think that was one of the points you wanted to make earlier, Curtis, right? Is it depends on not only the size, but I think you also want to talk about the types of failures too, right?
So I don't think there's any RTO or RPO you can't meet. And I'm not sure I agree with what you said just a few minutes ago. I think I understand what you were trying to say, but it's first off, there is no RTO and RPO you can't meet with money.
With money, right? Exactly.
Regardless of the size of the database.
Sorry, I should say picking a certain technology to use.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Different technologies enable different RTOs and RPOs.
Yeah.
Replication and, CDP, continuous data protection, these are technologies that can beat both a zero RTO and a zero RPO. They are expensive.
Yep.
You know, they are expensive.
Yep.
But the question is, how much money are you losing when you're down?
Yep.
So there's that. So, okay. So if that's how we decide on backup design, and RTO and RPO are really important, and I've never done that, how do I do that?
And how
you know, so yeah.
So well, I think the starting point is go talk to your business stakeholders, right? I think understand what they need, what are their requirements, and not just, oh, what do you want from RTO and RPO, but ask them the questions of what would the impact be if this application was down for a day? Because that'll change the answer they give you back.
Yeah. What is the financial impact to this app being down for a day or an hour, et cetera? And if they don't have that data, then honestly, they don't deserve to be in their
tier three. Tier three.
Yeah, tier three. Yeah. So you get an RTO and an RPO of a week.
Yeah.
If they don't have that data, then I don't know what to say, right? But if they have that data and they know that it's $1 million an hour, well, that helps you go and justify the amount of money that you need to spend.
Yep.
So you ask for that RTO and RPO, and then you say, well, our current system, as designed and as budgeted, has an RTO and an RTA and an RPA. You know, you could say that, like, in plain English, you could say it has the ability to meet an RTO of an hour,
yeah,
has an ability to meet an RPO of 12 hours, whatever the number is for you. And, and then they're like, what, you know, and that's when the conversation begins.
And then it's a negotiation, like at a car dealership.
It's absolutely, why'd you have to bring up car dealership?
Maybe it's not as painful as a car dealership.
I had such a non-fun experience getting my wife her new car. And it was, anyway, why'd you got to bring that up? But yeah, it's a conversation. It's a business discussion back and forth, right? they say, well, we want, you know, an RTO of 1 hour. And you're like, well, that's not possible. It's totally possible. It's just that it costs a ton of money. So you have to come to a point where you're like, I can, it's almost always starts like this. They want an RTO of this and you're able to do an RTO of that. And you need to meet in the middle. Almost always you're going to need to make some technological changes in order to do that. Those technological changes have costs. You can go back to that business unit and say, we can get to here. It's going to cost $1 million, right? And then they go, what? And then you go, well, we can get to, you know, we can get to here for $1 million. We can get to here for $25,000, right? Somewhere in there, there's a point of decreasing marginal returns, right? Yeah. And you need to find that spot and get them to agree to that spot.
The one question you brought up earlier, Curtis, which might be worthwhile thinking about is you mentioned that it depends on the type of failure, right? When you're talking about RTO and RPO, right? Does that come into this discussion as you're talking to the business?
I think it should. This is a philosophical discussion. There are those who feel that all RTOs and RPOs should be the same, whether you deleted a file or, you know, you had a natural disaster take out your entire state. I don't personally feel that way. I feel that for the most common type of things that happen, you should be able to have a pretty short RTO and RPO, right? You should be, I lost a file, boom, boom, and that should be like a minute, right? You know, it should not take a long time. But And I think that if there's a major disaster, I think you will get some
leeway,
some understanding. Yeah. Some leeway. Thank you. That's a perfect word. But again, all that really matters is that this is just my opinion. It's what your company will, you know, pay for.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a, you know, the best RTO and RPO for every kind of outage, then it's just going to cost you a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
As long as they're willing to pay that money, then, you know, we're all happy.
Yeah. And also on the flip side, right? If your RTO and RPOs are short for the most common ones and they're long for these critical or for these unexpected outages, set that expectation so people aren't yelling at you later, right? Set the expectation with the business and say, look, I will save you money, right? And here's what it is in the most general cases. And yes, something catastrophic happens, then yes, here is now my new RPO or my RTO is going to be, say, 3 days. And as long as everyone's okay with that and it's understood and documented, right? It's something you can go forward with because you're saving a bunch of money because it's all about risk, right? How often is that catastrophic event going to happen, right? And is, say, 3 to 5 days to recover, is that acceptable?
Yeah. That's it. That's all we're saying, right? Is get the RTO and RPO decided upon and agreed upon beforehand and get the RTA and RPA, right? Hopefully the two should match. Get them to match. But if they don't match, by the way, that's another scenario is we all know we should have a better RTO and RPO, but this is what our budget currently will allow due to market conditions,
yep,
the condition of the company, whatever. As long as we all know that now, so that when something bad happens and then you go to do this large restore and it takes a really long time, you know, they will know that that's the case, right?
You don't want to be left holding the bag.
You do not want to be left. You do not want to be the one blamed for the long restore or the restore that lost an acceptable or an unacceptable amount of data.
Yep.
All right. Well, you gave me some hard questions that time.
I got to try to mix it up every once in a while, you know?
You had to argue with me, man.
I don't know.
You hurt my feelings. All right. Well, it was good. Good stuff. I hope you guys, hope you folks out there, you know, learned a thing or two. And maybe you didn't agree. You know what? Come on the podcast. We don't even agree with each other sometimes. So, you know, we'd be happy to have you on. Give us a comment. And apparently, if you make more than, it has to be at least 9 comments more than we have today on the Apple
9 podcast. Or more.
Apparently, I have to grow a beard.
Nine or more. Yep.
Apparently, I have to grow a beard for Christmas. that'll be something. All right. Well, and remember, of course, to subscribe so that you can restore it all.